This is Morgan Berry, the voice of 13 from My Hero Academia. You're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Welcome to the show to give you all the news, views, and opinions in the world of gaming. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extras. So let's start with your host, Xavier Josiah. Power up and game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. We got a bunch of news to talk about in the world of gaming, especially my review of My Hero Academia 1 Justice, which came out last week for the PlayStation 4, the Xbox, and Nintendo Switch. So we're going to talk about that as well later on the show. But for now, we got some news, including we got the list of the PlayStation Classic console that's coming out soon. If you guys don't know, you know, going in the lines of pretty much everybody at this point, but you know, Nintendo Classic, you know, SNES Classic, Genesis has one that's out as well, Atari has one now that's out. Now PlayStation is jumping on the bandwagon of that, and they have their console coming out. It's a smaller version of the original PlayStation 1 designed console. It's going to be in the palm of your hands, of course, really cool, but it's going to have a lot of emulated games that will be on there. Now, the cool part about this, in accordance to the other ones, is that a lot of these are 3D-based games. So this one is putting in more power and a little bit more gigs of content, if you will, because this is the next generation towards those other two. So that is cool. Not only that, the game list that they have is pretty damn cool, too. Some of the greatest, titles that they had from the game, just to name a few. I mean, there were tons of them, but some of them are really, like, you really had to pay it justice to put these in, including, especially, if all things, the marquee game that I believe really sold people on the PlayStation, and that was Battle Arena Toshinden. It was one of the first games they advertised for the PlayStation, and remember, this was at the time when Virtual Fighter was out, and Virtual Fighter was not only the first 3D fighter game, it was actually the first 3D game out. Yu Suzuki was that's why his game cab is in the Smithsonian Museum, because he was the first one to revolutionize this technology, which we're all enjoying right now in such an advanced stage. And when the difference between that and Battle Arena Toshinden is that I think Yu Suzuki wanted to have a real simulated, you know, choreographic fight scene portrayed in 3D, which he successfully did. He superseded that. Battle Arena Toshinden took that and gave us what we all now see from games like Street Fighter V, 4, from, you know, EX plus Alpha, if you will, if you want to bring that into. And then games like Tekken and Soul Calibur. So they tested it out by giving us the Street Fighter-like experience, because you had characters that were not only in a 3D arena platform, but they were also shooting projectiles and stuff, and just like you would in a Street Fighter game. And, you know, doing high jumps and kicks and everything. You had AG, Karen, there was a bunch of different characters. Sophia with the whip and everything. I mean, this also, the cool part about Battle Arena Toshinden, which people don't know, which is so a norm to this day, is that, and I forgot the character's name. I got to go back and look at the character's name that they had. But it was the first character to ever have a gun in a fighting game. And I think it was a V in that name. Let me check that out. Okay, yeah, here it is right here. It's his name was Vermillion. I remember this now. Because he was in the anime, too, at the very, very end of the Battle Arena Toshinden anime. And if you played that game back then, you knew there was a anime that was... That's how popular this game was. There was an actual anime for this game that was done by the guy, Masami Obari, who was the same director that did all the Fatal Fury movies as well. And trust me, you could tell that it was him. Even if you didn't realize it was him, he has some very interesting signatures of his filmmaking in anime. But he would, you know, Vermillion, you know, showed himself at the very end of that anime, which I highly recommend anybody going back. It was a really cool, fun OVA to check out. But Battle Arena Toshinden brought people in to the game, because fighting games were still a big thing back then before they kind of diluted down in popularity, and, you know, it didn't really pick back up until, really not that much until, like, right after Tekken 3, I think things started, sliding down, and then shortly after, things started picking back up immediately when Street Fighter 4 came in and, re-revolutionized fighting games again. But again, Battle Arena Toshinden absolutely deserves to be on this list. I think even if people haven't really played that game, I think they need to go into their history and really check out one of the games that really brought it to the table for the PlayStation. One of the biggest draws of the PlayStation at the time. There were many more, but trust me, and when they were advertising and promoting the game, they made sure to put that on the forefront right there. There are also a large list of games here. You got Cool Borders 2, which was a pretty cool game. Remember that? Destruction Derby, I don't remember that. Final Fantasy VII, absolutely, without a doubt, has to be in this game. Not only did that game revolutionize, you know, or just put PlayStation even more on the map, it revolutionized the way we watch and look and play games, period. It brought such a Hollywood cinematic production and presentation to it. None of these games that we play to this day, no matter how much I love Spider-Man, no matter how much I love, you guys love Red Dead right now, or God of War, or any of these games that have Uncharted, any of these games that have these hugely popular cinematic production scenes, you know, that rivals movies, it all started with Final Fantasy VII. So, absolutely, they need to have this on here. And and one of the first games to really have an actual orchestra, too, by the way. It was like the music score. I mean, it's just theatrical score and everything. It's just phenomenal. So you got that, the original Grand Theft Auto, which was not what you think it was today. It was a top-down, you know, type of game back then. Intelligent Cube is on there, Jumpin' Flash. The original Metal Gear Solid, which was also another revolutionary game for PlayStation. I mean, this is the cool part about what Sony has done. A lot of games that were played on the PlayStation 1 have changed the way we play games to this day on any of these rivaling consoles, the Xbox, the Nintendo. And it is crazy because Nintendo's been out for a long time and they've had their legendary favorites. But in a sense of what PlayStation was doing with the power that they have, they were able to do so much more than what Nintendo was doing, because Nintendo it was always in the late in the game coming to do, like, 3D or doing any other type of things. But what Nintendo did was accentuate the positives and hide the negatives, per se, if you understand that, of what they were able to do and make it work for them and still be able to sell, you know, games and profit. But, you know, Sony really brought everything to the dance here, and, you know, all these third-party games and all these AAA games that they were coming out with in there, so that's awesome. Mr. Driller was another popular favorite. Oddworld Abe's Odyssey is a huge, huge legendary game, Hall of Fame game. You know, at that, Rayman, the original Rayman, another great Hall of Fame game. I mean, a lot of these games are Hall of Famers, no doubt, without a doubt. Resident Evil Director's Cut. So this is awesome because it's the original version, but, you know, this is the actual cornball edition. They give you the one without the campy acting, I believe, if I'm correct. Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4, my favorite puzzle, Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, which is always the super deformed Capcom characters, Street Fighter characters. Always a fun game to play. Siphon Filter. Tekken 3, of all games, I love that it's on here. Tekken 3 had so much cool things. I believe Tekken Force Mode was on that one, too. Hopefully, if that's true, that's definitely worth playing. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, the original. Twisted Metal, the original. And Wild Arms. So, you got a great, great library of games for either those who just want to collect the actual console, whether it's going to be on a shelf or whether you actually want to enjoy playing those games again, it's there. We had a conversation on an ACMG Facebook group. Again, if you are 18 or older with a legit, you know, profile, and I mean legit, I've been screening those applicants constantly of people who want to come in. And if you're listening right now and you want to come in, know that you have to answer every question that is provided for you on Facebook, because we're not letting just anybody in. That you have to answer those questions right and answer every one of them right. There's some people who answer only one question out of the three or answer what they think they want to, for me. No, you need to answer all those questions. That's the point of it being there. So if you want to join it, definitely go to facebook.com/groups/ACMG1. Again, 18 or older with a 5-year-old profile. It has to be 5 years or older. And and it has to also have pictures of you in that profile, as well as it has to have you interacting with other people. Because there are some, you know, scheming, you know, pages out there that make it seem like it's, you know, it's been utilized, but there's no interaction in the page at all. So don't think that we don't see that. But definitely come along if you're legit and you're interested and you're a fan of any of these, of what we like. Definitely go on there. But I digress. We were talking about this list on a Facebook group, and you know, there are people who are saying like, oh, they don't have this, I'm not getting this. If they don't have this, I'm like, even if they did, chances of you actually playing that game and really sticking to that game is little to none. Because 9 chances out of 10, you're going to be focusing on a new gen game way before you're ever thinking about hooking up an HDMI cable to your, you know, to this whole entire system. This is a nostalgic piece of work that most likely will hang up in people's shelves just for display. I don't see anybody else really playing these games thoroughly like that. That's my honest opinion. I mean, there's some people who may enjoy playing a lot of these games, you know, for a little bit. But when that new game comes out on a new gen console, you know, bye, Felicia, pretty much. They're not going to play that game anymore. That's just my point. So if you really, really wanted the game that wasn't on the list there, there are so many ways for you to get that game. If you really wanted to play that game, you would have found an emulator by now to find that game. You would have found you would have went out to GameStop or ordered from Amazon or PlayAsia or whatever to actually find that game. Don't try to complain like and try to be uppity about it, saying like, oh, it doesn't have this game, I'm not going to get it. You weren't going to get it in the first place. And two, you weren't going to get it for that one game. So stop trying to, I'm really getting tired of the pretentious nature of the internet right now. It's so draining and annoying. It's just so, God, I digress. But if you're interested in it, it will be coming out soon. There is no date as to when this is coming out, nor is there a solid price at the moment. There's been rumors of things coming out. I haven't heard anything yet myself, but expected to come out. I'm pretty sure it's going to come out during the Christmas season or the holiday season. So stay tuned for that and be at the ready for it. So, one of my favorite games, and I've had the pleasure of playing on the PSP, on a PS Vita, and on a PS4 as well, and that's God Eater 2, or God Eater series. 1 and 2 I own, both on the PS Vita, and I own it on the PlayStation 4. If you are a fan of Monster Hunter, you're going to be a fan of this game. I've reviewed this game before a couple times, the first one and the second one. And this is not only just for Monster Hunter fans. If you're a fan of Monster Hunter, this is your game, because it literally is like Monster Hunter with a few more bells and whistles in it and an actual solid storyline. But not only is this good for Monster Hunter fans, but even non-Monster Hunter fans, because I'm telling you now, I'm not a Monster Hunter fan. I do not like the way that they handle the game as far as... I mean, first of all, it's extremely too deep. It's way too deep for me. I don't want to get that much invested into it. I know there are other people who do get invested into it, and that's... I much respect to them. But it really is way too deep of a gameplay for me personally. But that's where God Eater comes in, because God Eater gives you the same action experience as Monster Hunter, but less detail. You know, I would even say it's a user-friendlier model than that. So it's basically, you know, it's based on a post-apocalyptic world where people fight off monsters called origamis, you know, and then there's this agency that is made to fight them, not only to fight them off, but to also merge with their armor, origamis, you know, getting parts. They have these weapons that actually are symbiotic in a sense. They're part weapon, part origami, and using origami parts. And what happens is you can transform the actual weapon from a sword or a sword-like weapon or a blade weapon to a gun. And then it also devours the origami that you've defeated to gain more materials, which will allow you to develop more powerful weapons. So there's the RPG element to it and the leveling development to it, which is fun. And it's very easy to do. You can like develop different types of bullets that are more damaging, that are more, impenetrable, or not even impenetrable. That'll just, let's just say, so from a simplistic statement of saying that it basically just is more powerful and be able to penetrate through almost anything, for that matter. But you got to learn the right way to do it. And there's, you know, many different tutorials out there to find out how to mix the right type of elements to create the best bullets as well as the best type of blade as well. But you had that as, you know, to it. And, you know, again, it has the monster style, the Monster Hunter style RPG elements. The storyline is pretty cool. You know, sometimes is a little, it can be a little convoluted every once in a while, but it's really cool. It has that Neon Genesis Evangelion type of feel to the storyline. It's in that type of thing. So if you want, I would highly recommend God Eater 1 and 2, which is available for the PlayStation 4 right now. If you still own a PS Vita, it's available. Get it while you can before that whole entire, before they discontinue that, which is scheduled to be discontinued very soon, actually. But it's a very good game. I actually hope that Nintendo gets it at some point, because I would love playing it on there, and of course playing it on the go as always. So just look out for it, because God Eater 3 is coming, and it is coming for the PlayStation 4 and the PC February 8, 2008. There is a trailer out. They do talk about it, but they don't give too much information as to what it's going to involve and what, you know, new things, that features that it's going to have this time. But I highly recommend this game. It's great. It's absolutely, not only the biggest thing that I like about it too, and what I didn't like, it felt the void for me that Monster Hunter didn't have, and that was a gauge. When you're fighting those monsters, I've said this before, when you're fighting those monsters and the monsters, you never know when you're going to beat this monster. This thing can go on for like an hour of fighting. You can fight this thing for an hour and don't know what his weak spots is and how to defeat him properly or quickly. And you never know how much you're damaging. Well, in God Eater, no matter which version it is, they do have a gauge. No matter how big the monster or whatever, there is a gauge there to know when you're taking down the enemy, or there's weak points that are detected, which allows you to find it too. So they do make it a lot more fun and user-friendly to play, and more intriguing to play, in my opinion. You know, Monster Hunter is for the absolutely hardcore who want to just go out there and raid and do all that stuff. And that's the other thing too. Even if you're playing through single player, you're not alone. You're going through a whole bunch of AI characters who are fairly coherent and will, you know, work with you and make sure that you're killing off enemies together. And you won't have to worry about going at it alone. So that's always a plus to that. So look out for it. God Eater 3, PlayStation 4, February 8th, 2019. So I'm looking forward to that. I was checking out Game Informer recently, too. Game Informer actually had reported that Microsoft is prototyping a controller for the mobile phones and tablets. There's no real name for it as of yet, but the design of them is formatted in the same design fashion as an Xbox controller, with that type of control scheme, with the analog on the top left and the D-pad on the bottom from there, and another, you know, on the right. with the buttons above the analog on the right. So it kind of formats that whole type of thing. So it looks like they're going in the fashion of Nintendo Switch, which will give you the ability to play with it as a full connected controller, or you can separate it like a Joy-Con and detach it, do it like a detached play, you know, with just having them in your hand, or you'll be able to attach them to your smartphone or tablet to hold them in each side of the hand of your phone and all that stuff, which is awesome. That's pretty cool. So it will have a USB charging dock with exposed contacts for delivering power to each half of the controller. So they're going to have their own chargers, pretty much, is what it's looking like. There's actual photo of the 3D, of the 3D design element of it using a 3D printer, and they show you how it's going to work. So there is no word on when this will actually be in development. So it could be something that can come out soon. Hopefully it will. I actually think this is a cool deal. I wouldn't mind investing in that myself. So, and it, apparently it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be universal. It's supposed to work for all systems. So I'll keep an eye on that and see what follows from that point. Going into fighting game news, where Soul Calibur still hot out of hot on sale right now, and they just announced their newest actual character, secret special guest character that they're coming out with, and that's Nier Automata's 2B, which is going to be coming to Soul Calibur soon. A new trailer dropped announcing that the character is appearing on air. Beautiful. If anything that I can say about Soul Calibur, drop dead gorgeous graphics. Beautiful, beautiful to the drop. In this case, she's going to accompany herself with some air combos, which is going to be a different strategy for those who are going to be playing it. And it does follow up with a air combo finisher as well. She will come with new weapons and some character creation items that will be added as well. So it's coming soon. No date release for that, but I'm sure they'll announce it very soon for there. So that'll be all for the news of what I have. I'm going to take a break right now, come back, and give you my review of My Hero Academia 1 Justice. And we'll do that right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on Talk Time Live.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
All right, folks, we are back with our review of My Hero Academia 1 Justice for the Xbox, PlayStation 4, and Nintendo Switch. I had a chance to check it out. Of course, I played it on the Nintendo Switch. And I gotta say, I'm an anime fan, and I'm a fan of My Hero Academia. So when I found out that Bandai Namco was going to be in charge of this, which you guys know, they are responsible for some of the best anime games out on the market right now. That's including Dragon Ball Xenoverse, Dragon Ball FighterZ, One Piece, you name it. I mean, they run all of the licenses for all of the top animes out there. Naruto, Ultimate Ninja Storm, which has been out, was one of the best games ever, you know, anime licensed games ever out there as well. And, you know, now they put their hands in My Hero because that, in all hindsight, has become one of the hottest animes out right now. And it's deserving of a game at this point. You knew it was coming. So they have it now. And I actually liked it. I actually enjoyed it. Is it the best of all of the anime licensed games that Bandai Namco has come in? No. It's not, because of a few things. But there is some things that they do have that is very strong here. And if you're a My Hero fan, I think you will enjoy it in hindsight. So let's just run down what I've wrote down for this and let you know the pros and cons of both of them and why, if you're a My Hero fan, you may want to check this out. If you're a fighting game fan, hold on. Just listen to what I got to say. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Let's find out for sure. So, My Hero Academia One Justice is based on a vastly popular Shonen Jump anime, which tells the story of Izuku Midoriya, a.k.a. Deku, it's pretty much a coming-of-age story of him becoming the greatest superhero ever, which at this time, it was All Might. And if you watch the anime, you know what happened. You know the situations. If you haven't, go out of your way to check it out. It's worth it. If you're a superhero fan and you like comic books, you're going to like what you see on My Hero Academia. It's awesome. It has it's Naruto mixed with super in the world of superheroes, pretty much, you know, in its own quirky type of way. And I say that, I pun intended with that as well. So, but it's an awesome game. It's also anime series and now in manga. I started off reading manga before I actually, you know, started just jumping on an anime series. And now it's a video game, respectfully so. So now the game is a 3D melee platform fighter, much like that of Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm. There's a lot of traces of Naruto in this game, of the Ultimate Ninja Storm game in here, with a few bells and whistles in here. So let's talk about the pros. And there's a lot of pros. There's a hell of a lot more pros than it is cons. I'm telling you that now, and that speaks volumes of it right now. So the pros of this game, if you watch the game, if you've seen the game, whether it's on YouTube or you play the game, you know Bandai Namco never holds back on graphic power. This is no different. This game is flat out beautiful. Gives you exactly the look, and actually gives you, as great as the anime look, they managed to make it look better. It looks spectacular. Just right down to the vibrant colors that it has, and it's just some of the most vibrant colors I've seen in all of the games. Like, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is very dark and dreary because it needs to be. It's JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Naruto is dark at times, but it also could be bright colors as well. Dragon Ball is also more bright colors than darks and colds. This one is all focused on beautiful, vibrant, and saturated colors in here, and they worked it perfectly in this game with a certain type of a glowed effect to it as well. So you got that going on there. The game runs in 720 pixels, right, with the resolution at least, with a 30 frames per second. And there, and there also, I believe there is one that plays in 1080, but honestly, when you put them next to each other, whether it's 1080 or 720, you don't really see the difference. The frame rate looks exactly the same. It all runs very smoothly, even on a Nintendo Switch. And I've seen differences, I've seen the contrast between a Nintendo Switch and a PlayStation 4. You barely see a difference there at all. And it looks absolutely stunning. It runs no different. And no matter what, even the loading time runs no different. The loading time is not really that long. I guess it's long from some standards, but not that long. It's under maybe 20 seconds at best. But I mean, I don't mind it at all. It's like while I'm waiting for 20 whole seconds, I'm usually looking at TV or watching something else or paying attention to something else or looking at the internet. So it doesn't bother me at all with the loading time. Not for this game. So that's one other thing, too. The game provides a lot of variety of play options, both offline and online, including story mode, mission mode, local match, training, online, and arcade, of course, which I know a lot of fighting games are happy about. The story mode, it basically highlights some of the most important moments in the first couple of seasons of the manga and the anime, or chapters in the manga, or seasons of the anime. The presentation of the story mode adds on some cutscenes along with the motion manga style panel with both text and audio. Now, I talked about Soul Calibur 6, and they kind of did the same thing. The reason why I accept it here is because My Hero Academia is, in fact, a manga. And the presentation of how they did it with the story mode is that they made it look like a manga, a actual motion action type of manga. So there's it within the manga. There is some types of movement. There are some cutscenes on there in the story mode. About six of them at best. Six lengthy cutscenes in there. And then, you know, all through it, they go through the manga-style feature, which it is actual manga, so it gives it that, you know, that type of feel. Whereas Soul Calibur, it's like you got this hugely produced game with these absolutely drop-dead gorgeous graphics. And you would think, like they did with Spider-Man or whatever, or even Tekken 7, they would fully render cutscenes for using the actual characters in real time, in this case, and they didn't. That was a disappointing thing. It's like you could do absolutely so much more with that game, and they didn't do it. Here, it's respectful. I still say I don't know if this was worth $60 like they've made it to be, and that's the part that I'm a little iffy about, because I think this game would have been at least better as a $49.99 game or even a $39.99 game, because they do give you cutscenes, but I feel like with Xenoverse and all those other games out there, it could have been a little bit more, but we'll talk about that much more too. The other thing, though, is that the presentation of the story mode not only has a hero mode, it also has a villain mode, which tells you the events from their perspective, from the villain's perspective there. So you have that. So there is a little bit more replay value as you go down the chapters and do different things. From that, too, once you do that, you'll earn a lot of items going through both of those modes as well. The mission mode is really interesting. It's a one-player mode that allows you to compete in matches that you complete with special stipulations in order to gain special items and customizations for your characters. This mode is very interesting because if any of you played J-Star Victory Versus Plus, which is Bandai Namco's Shonen Jump celebrated anniversary game, which is a crossover melee fighter starring almost every some of the most popular characters in the Shonen Jump universe. They're doing a new one now called Jump Force. So if you guys think Jump Force is the first game that they've ever done that's going to cross over all these characters like Dragon Ball, Naruto, Bleach, One Piece. No, this is the actual second game. They did it a few years ago with that. And again, another game I hope that comes to the Switch because it's going to be wasted. So that game also was one of the first ones to have a mission mode, which is very similar to what I'm seeing here in My Hero Academia right there. So then they have the arcade mode, which is a straightforward series of single player matches within the interaction of you get different conversations depending on who you are. And all of the, if you play the game through with like one game player and you beat it and then you play through it again, you're not facing the same characters in that same order. They're going to be different characters and, you know, in different ways. There's some way in it says that it's like they, each character goes through three different routes. And I haven't discovered or understand what they meant by that, because it's not like it's a tournament bracket story mode type of way where you could do it. It's just you're going through the game and you randomly go through different characters. And I don't know how you are able to switch. I wish they would have gave you more information as to how that works or whether that what that means or whatnot. But it doesn't have that. And I haven't found anything online that explains that whole entire theory of, you know, scheme of that arcade mode anyway. But it's still a lot of fun to play. And you do go through. It is really cool reading different, you know, short interactions from the other characters together. So it does make it a little bit more engaging going through that mode as well. You also have the ability through the game. Well, let's talk about the control scheme first before I even talk about that. The control scheme of things provides a user-friendly style game of rock. It's pretty much like a rock, paper, scissors fashion with normal moves, counter moves, unblockable moves. And a plus ultra move, which leads to, of course, a great cinematic show of power, which could wipe out your health immensely. This is very similar, again, to Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm series in there. Along with that, another similarity to both games is that they have an assist system, which you have assist characters that can help you break combos or give you an edge in defeating your opponent. So, and that's exactly like Ultimate Ninja Storm in this case. At least the earlier versions, is, I think 1 and 2 especially, because they had that. But I think by 3 and 4, you can actually switch characters and fight as a different character within that battle, within that one battle. So, and then there's also the customization mode, which allows you to use items you've earned through story mode and mission mode to give each character an original look when fighting. So Mama Doria is hooked up pretty cool. He looks actually really damn cool. Has a different color suit and some items from other, like Gran Torino's mask and some different scarves or something like that from other characters. It is pretty cool, and it's, you know, a different way of playing the game. Much like you would like with Tekken. It kind of went about that route with it as well. So, and there is a gallery mode too, where you know, it has a lot of information, artwork, and all the stuff that you could check out, which you unlock from playing all the different modes and such too. So, the cons that I had with this game wasn't much, and it was not enough to me to say that I didn't enjoy the game at all. But it is what it is. I did wish that they had, like, the presentation was a little bit more CGI cutscene based more than it was, you know, text based. But again, they went and did the manga style. I do believe that this is smoke and mirrors, in my opinion, from Bandai Namco, much like it was with Soul Calibur. I think it might have been a budgeting type of thing, which is why I think that Soul Calibur didn't get the full presentation that it deserves, and this one also didn't get the full presentation that I think it was. But what the difference between the two is that My Hero Academia is a brand new IP, whereas Soul Calibur 6, that intellectual property has been out for a long time and deserves a lot better presentation, a much better presentation than it has gotten. It really deserves the Tekken 7 type of presentation at this point. Full voice acting, full CGI scenes, cutscenes, and all that stuff like there. Whereas My Hero Academia, I can understand, is still new in the eyes of, you know, all the, you know, anime otakus out there. And, you know, it, much like One Piece and all the other ones, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure 2, they don't have English dub versions in here. And I do believe they save that for the established series like Naruto and Dragon Ball. Shout out to Sega again with Fist of the North Star, because they gave that a full presentation. I hope... Excuse me. I always hope and pray that they do give the same fashion to Jump Force, because I think a lot of fans are very excited about that game, and the hype that it's getting, I really hope that they hire, you know, all of the people to reprise their roles as their respective characters for that game, because it really is looking like it's going to be an epic event when it comes out in 2009. I'm sorry, 19. So, the last thing that I have is the arcade mode, which, although it does have great interactions during the process of you going through what these things like 10 stages, six, I, don't quote me. It's like, I think it's like 10 stages, I believe, or I might be wrong on that number. But you go through different stages of the arcade mode, and you do go through interactions like you would a normal old school, you know, style arcade mode. But once you beat the game, it would have been really nice to have at least, like Street Fighter, at like Street Fighter 2 or 3, at the end they have certain type of endings or something like that. It just says congratulations at the end. It shows a picture, a graphic of the characters. And to me, that's like, it's a little bit lame. They could have went the extra mile with that. I wish they really would have. But again, I understand, because My Hero Academia, this may be a test game. This may be a game right now that... that they're trying to see, you know, put their feet in the water, see how far they could go and see where they could do with it now. And I understand that. And this, as popular as this game or the series has become, it still doesn't measure up to the, you know, to the level of the other games. And again, I said this before, had Dragon Ball Super had not come out, I think My Hero Academia would have been the number one series out there. But it was on its way too, and then, you know, Akira Toriyama came in and just took back his throne. He just took back the Shonen Jump throne, and, you know, now My Hero is rather second or third best anime out there right now, by far. But overall, My Hero Academia won justice at all best. It's very fun. It's a very fun game. for fans of the series. While the presentation is not up to the to my standards personally, nor compares to that of any other Bandai Namco Shonen Jump games like Naruto, One Piece, or Dragon Ball, for that matter. Or even JoJo's Bizarre Adventure had a better presentation and story mode than this. It still provides a lot of replay value, in my opinion. And not only just that, it's like I said, it's drop-dead gorgeous. The good frame rate, gorgeous colors, you know, great character design. Simple, fun, and user-friendly control scheme. This is a game recommended only to fans of the series, in my opinion, and Otaku of Life. Or even just fighting game, pure fighting game fans who just love fighting games, period. Not for competition, just for the artistry of it, for the, you know, the design of it. You would love this game. But for hardcore, you know, fans who are in competition, you know, and looking for competitive play, I wouldn't recommend this. It's because of that, although it'd be good, I still give it a solid B for this game. So, again, if you're a fan of the series, if you're a fan of all of it, you're going to enjoy it. Have fun. Go out and get it. Check it out. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. Thank you so very much. As always, this show, this Sunday, I don't know what the topic is going to be just yet, but I am absolutely going to have some news and everything's going on in the world. It's November now, so the fall is officially here. The holiday season is coming. This is going to be crazy. So who knows? We'll talk about something, but we will definitely have a show on Sunday, so stay tuned for that and much, much more. So ladies and gentlemen, until then, enjoy. Follow us on not only just Facebook, again, at facebook.com/groups/ACMG1. Also follow us and keep supporting us on TalkTimeLive.com. You can check out all of the episodes, all our previous episodes, and our exclusive episodes in our exclusives page. Or you could go to directly there at TalkTimeLive.com/exclusive. You can also subscribe to us in iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and Google Play. So we have all of those options. Again, there may be some structural changes in the background of things, but that won't hurt anybody anytime soon. But we'll keep you informed of all that as well for now. So, ladies and gentlemen, that will do it. On behalf of myself, this is Dak Xavier Josiah, and all I gotta say is learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. Talk to you on Sunday.
This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.